Isn't it great to come back from a dental visit with no cavities? Welcome to Teeth Talk. That's our goal today, to prevent cavities. Find out why we get them. With us, Dr. Ashley Mann from Charles Ashley Mann Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. And he has three offices, Cary Garner and Fuquay Varina. Dr. Mann, hope you're doing well.
Well, hello. Happy Memorial Day weekend, everyone. My son graduates. Can you believe it?
Wow. Hard to believe. Congratulations to him.
He's graduating from high school. My oldest.
I always get a little concerned when sitting in the dental chair and you take a special tool and you poke my teeth and sometimes that tool sticks in the tooth. That's not a good sign because it means I could have a cavity. So let's start there. What is a cavity?
Well, that's a good question. You know, a lot of people don't even ask that question. Hey, I have a cavity. What does it mean? Well, basically what cavity is decay. Your tooth is decaying. And what causes decay? It's a bacteria that's in your mouth. So therefore, it's classified as a disease. So it's a disease in your tooth. And that bacteria loves certain foods that we eat, especially sugar and acid. And it uses those things to create decay in your tooth, which causes a cavitation. And that's why the name cavity came about. But those cavitations, you know, hold more bacteria and it just keeps getting worse if you don't address it. In a nutshell, that really is a disease or bacteria that causes a cavitation in your tooth.
Is there a main cause of cavities? Is it poor diet or just not taking care of your teeth?
I think it's a combination of poor home oral health. So, you know, not brushing your teeth and flossing. That keeps the plaque built up, which plaque is that bacteria. It keeps that built up in your mouth. The more bacteria that you have in your mouth, your greater risk of them causing cavities. The next thing is a poor diet. So one that's high in sugar, one that's high in acid, which that includes like soft drinks and even fruit juice in children, candy. There's a lot of hidden sugars in processed foods. All those things can lead to an increased risk for decay. That's really what causes them. Now, you can be born with, some people say, soft teeth, but you can have teeth problems when they erupt in, being what we call less calcified. Basically, your teeth don't have the calcium that they need, and you can be a little bit more prone to decay. For the most part, natural teeth, that when they come in, we have an outer shell, and that's the hard enamel, and it's what helps us chew our food, and it's highly resistant to decay. It's hard to get that bacteria. It's hard for it to cavitate into enamel. Below that, we have a soft part of our tooth called dentin. And once that decay is down into the dentin, it can really, really go fast. That's why, you know, we poke around the mouth, like you talked about, looking for when it's sticky with that little pointy thing that we use. When it's sticky, a tooth, that means it's down into the soft part of your tooth and it needs a filling.
So does filling the tooth prevent any further decay?
Yes, that's right. So when we find decay, we have to remove all the decay out of the tooth. If you don't remove all the decay out of the tooth, then it will continue to erode the tooth away once it reaches the soft part of your tooth. So we have to go in and we actually use this stain that stains decay. And we basically remove all of the tooth structure until there's no stain left. And then we actually seal that tooth back off and build the tooth back up with tooth-colored filling composite. Or we can also use something that's stronger like ceramics.
I'm assuming proper dental hygiene goes a long way in preventing cavities. Is brushing twice a day and flossing enough?
For the most part, it is, unless you have a really bad diet. A lot of times, people with chronic soft drink drinkers that drink a lot of soft drinks, whether they're diet or non-diet, they can brush four times a day and still get a lot of decay. You also can get large amounts of decay and deterioration of your teeth if with certain drug abuse like methamphetamines. Just because you brush, you still have to watch your diet because you can get cavities even if you're a good brusher and flosser.
Now, you could have a cavity, I guess, and have no pain.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, That's why we have to take x-rays. So, you know, when you come into our office, when we do your first exam, the reason why we have to take those x-rays is we can't see all the surfaces of the tooth with our naked eye. And so when we go in with that mirror, we can only see probably about maybe 2/3 of the tooth. So the other third, we have to see by x-rays. And that's the contacts where your teeth come together and touch. We have to open up those contacts with x-rays. And a lot of times that's where decay starts, is in between your teeth, because that's where the plaque doesn't get removed by toothbrushing. That's why flossing is so important. And so when that bacteria stays there and it doesn't get removed, you have an increased risk for decay between your teeth. And those, what we call bite wing x-rays, help us diagnose those so that we can, you know, treat them before they get deep.
I'd assume the sugary drinks are a big culprit for decay.
Especially, you know, if you're sipping on them. I can take someone who drinks 4 or 5 Mountain Dews, which is probably one of the worst as far as causing decay. And if they drink them really fast, they'll get less decay than someone that takes 1 Mountain Dew and sips on it and takes a sips every 10 minutes throughout the day. Because it's all about exposure time. The more exposure those bacteria have to sugar, the more damage they cause to the teeth. So that's another thing. If you're exposing your teeth to acid or sugar all day long, no matter how many times you brush your teeth and floss, you're going to create decay. And the reason for that is you can't get rid of all the bacteria. All you can do is reduce the count by brushing and flossing. So even if you have some left, if you're feeding it the sugar and the acid, it's just multiplying and causing those cavitations in your teeth. These drinks produce an environment that's ideal for these bacteria to multiply and increase and severely increases your risk for decay.
So drink water.
Yeah, drink water. Yeah, that's a good one. And you know, if you do drink a drink like that, then what you need to do is just rinse with water after you drink the drink and make sure you're not sipping on it.
Well, thank you for tuning in to Teeth Talk today, heard every Sunday at 4:30 on WPTF. If you missed any portion of the show, or if you're interested in other dental topics, check out our podcast, Always On Demand, at WPTF.com. Also available wherever you get your podcast, just search Teeth Talk. There's a big controversy going on right now about taking the fluoride out of our water. Could that cause more cavities? Well, we'll discuss that next with Dr. Mann. This is Teeth Talk on WPTF. FM 92.9, AM 680, and WPTF.com. News, talk, traffic. Back here on Teeth Talk with Dr. Ashley Mann. It's all over the news, fluoride coming out of the water in some municipalities. You as a dentist, are you concerned?
Yeah, so there's a big controversy about that right now. You know, there's been some studies out that show that fluoride in water or exposure to fluoride on a regular basis in drinking water can lead to low IQs in children. There were very biased studies, and the amount that they were exposed to was a lot greater than what's in our drinking water. We do know that fluoride in water decreases the decay rate. And we know many studies show by 25 to 30%. Again, fluoride is a natural occurring substance. And how we found out that that it worked for decreasing decay is there was two Native American populations that were about 45 miles apart, and one had a lot of decay and one didn't. So they started evaluating their food intake, and they realized, hey, it's very similar. And then they went to the water source, which they were in a well type of water, not a city water. And they found that the one that had less decay had natural fluoride in the water, and then the ones that had high decay didn't have any. And so they started doing research on that. And that's how adding fluoride to the municipalities came about, to decrease the decay rate. So we do know that fluoride decreases the decay rate. We also know that certain fluorides, like silver diamine fluoride, if it's applied topically to an area where decay is starting and it hasn't quite gotten through that enamel, we do know that it reverses that decay and it'll stop it and keep it from advancing. So we use that in our office. It is site specific, so it's not something that you're ingesting like well water. But I think if we do start seeing, you know, municipalities taking fluoride out of drinking water, we will see an increase in the amount of decay. We know that for a fact that we will. The question is there an alternative that we can use due to some stuff that have come out about, you know, lowering the IQ in children? I think there needs to be further studies before we take that big jump, but it is a disease. Decay is a disease. So we have to make sure that we keep that level down. And again, there's research out there. And again, there's about 80 million people across the world that have natural fluoride in their water. The towns, you know, do not put it in the water. It's naturally occurring. There's even certain countries like Iran, certain areas of China, where they have to remove fluoride from the water because it's so much in the water that it can cause health issues.
If fluoride comes out of the water, are there other ways of getting it?
Well, you know, you do have toothpaste with fluoride. You know, the biggest thing that we're going to see if it's removed is going to be in children. We'll see more decay, the higher decay rate in children. Cognitively, they don't brush their teeth as well as they do when they get older. And so the parents have to teach them to brush properly as well as their dentist and hygienist. But we will see an increase. However, if they take that out, there is an alternative if those parents do not want fluoride even in toothpaste or rinses, is hydroxyapatite. And it's a great product, all natural. And studies have shown that it is just as good as fluoride as preventing cavities, fluoride toothpaste versus hydroxyapatite apatite toothpastes. They're about neck and neck as far as the decrease that we see in the decay rate. Now, as far as what we do if it's removed from the water, from a social standpoint, I think we'd probably have to go back to those days when we would swish with the fluoride in schools. I don't know if you remember those days. Did you ever have to do that, Mike?
Yes. Yes, I remember.
So, yeah, I think they would probably have to go back to something like that, especially if they saw the decay rate increase after they took it out of the water. But if you're a family that has a problem with fluoride, I would suggest that you move into hydroxyapatite and just watch your diet and your kids' diets closely and keep the sugar and the acids at a very, very low level.
In your office, the hygienist sometimes suggests coating the teeth with a special application. Is that fluoride?
So that's a different type of fluoride. We use something called stannous fluoride, and it's kind of like a coating, a varnish, we call it, and it sticks to your teeth. And what it does is it infuses into those pores, and it decreases the decay rate because those bacteria do not like fluoride, and it also strengthens your tooth. So it kind of does, hydroxyapatite does the exact same thing. It gets into the pores of your teeth. Now, if you have a lot of crown work or a lot of fillings, it also goes into the micro. There's always a little bit of a micro margin that fluoride can penetrate into and keep the bacteria that get into that micro margins from causing what we call recurrent decay or decay around a filling or a crown. But that's a very good thing to do at least once a year, especially in younger kids and especially as we get older. Because as we get older, we start to see decay around our gum line. And the reason for that is our gum line recedes up on the top and down on the bottom. And when it recedes, it exposes a part of your tooth that's even softer than the dentin that we talked about. It's called cementum. It's your root, basically. That area is really more predisposed to getting decay if it's in the environment and the bacteria can build up on that. And so we tend to be more proactive in recommending it to our older patients to help prevent that decay around the gum line because you don't have a lot of tooth structure around your gum line. And if you start losing that tooth structure to decay, your teeth can start breaking off. And it's very to your nerve. You can start having a lot of sensitivity. So we like to be proactive.
Today on Teeth Talk, we're learning more about something we don't want, particularly cavities. More is just ahead on WPTF and WPTF.com. News, talk, traffic. Back here for our final segment on this Sunday, we mentioned x-rays, a good way of helping find cavities. Is there anything else you use to discover them?
Absolutely. We, you know, don't rely as much on that little sticky explorer that you referred to at the beginning of the show. We use a laser now to detect decay. It's basically called the diagnodent, so it can diagnose decay. And, you know, a lot of decay, like I said, starts between the teeth and or it starts in the deep grooves of the teeth, the chewing deep grooves that we have, especially in the back teeth. They're very deep and very narrow, so the bacteria can stay down in those narrow grooves. What a diagnodent can do is it can determine whether the decay is still in your enamel or if it's in the soft part of your tooth, the dentin. It can tell us, hey, that's just a stain. It's not decay. But what it does is it's a light, and it goes and penetrates the tooth, and it determines the density of the tooth. And a less dense, less hard tooth means decay. And it'll send a value number back that we read out, and it makes a high-pitched noise to let us know that if a tooth truly has decay. So it's a lot more comfortable for the patient, but it's also highly accurate. When we get a reading over 25, there's about a 99% chance that the tooth needs a filling. X-rays are good. We use them. Usually an x-ray is not it doesn't tell you how exact or how deep the decay is. In an x-ray, it could be 20% deeper than it shows on an x-ray. So that's one of the reasons why we have to be a little more proactive. But the diagnodent's great because the x-rays don't really show what's in the grooves of your teeth until they get really deep. So with the diagnodent, we can be a lot less invasive and be more proactive and do very small fillings when they just start out, or actually do sealants, what we call sealants, before they get into the soft part of the tooth with the diagnodent.
And if you ignore a cavity, it can cause dental pain, I assume?
Yeah. So what happens is when that bacteria gets deep enough, it gets into the nerve, which is soft tissue. That's the center part of your tooth. That's why, you know, we feel cold when we drink something super cold and it makes our teeth hurt. That's the nerves in the center of our tooth. Once that bacteria gets into that nerve, the nerve dies. It kills that nerve. And when that nerve dies, there is no immune system in the middle of the tooth. You can't get blood flow up into the middle of your tooth once that soft tissue dies. The bacteria just lives there, and it goes down and causes an abscess, which is severely, severely painful and can be. You know, worst case scenario, if you ignore that, is you could end up in the hospital. This is an infection. I always tell people, if you had a bleeding sore on your arm that lasted for, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks and never healed up, you'd probably visit the doctor. Well, you want the same thing with the tooth. If you have a bump over a tooth or a tooth is sore, you don't want to continue to let that fester, because it could cause what we call a super infection. And I've had several patients that I've had to send to the hospital, and they had to be put on IV antibiotics because of a infected tooth. So an infection is not anything to play with. And I always tell I always say that God made toothaches one of the worst pain, because that infection is near your brain. Okay. When you get an infected tooth, there's only the blood-brain barrier keeping that infection and protecting you. So it's very close, and it's God's way of saying, hey, get something done, because, hey, this infection is serious.
Wrapping up here today, what advice do you have about avoiding cavities?
The biggest thing is home care. You know, I always tell people, you cannot come to the dentist every day. It'd be nice. Some people would, because they love the way it makes their teeth feel after they get them clean. But you can't come to the dentist and have your hygienist clean your teeth every day. So oral health at home is the biggest thing. Good oral health, using an electric toothbrush for 2 minutes every day, twice a day, flossing or water picking to get all of that bacteria between your teeth removed, and then a good diet. You know, one of the things that we see is that people that have good diet, they don't have a lot of processed foods and sugars, they tend to have a lot less decay.
Frequent trips to the dentist can help in preventing lots of teeth issues. Make an appointment today at Charles Ashley Mann Family and Cosmetic Dentistry in Cary Garner or Fuquay, Varina. Here's the number, 919-462-9338. Call for an appointment or go to smileman.com. That's smileman.com. What do we have on tap next week?
Well, I don't think we have talked about pediatric dentistry in a while, so we're gonna talk about certain aspects of when children should first visit the dentist, and everything from braces, when they should see an orthodontist, all that fun stuff.
Well, tune in next Sunday for that at 4:30. For Dr. Ashley Mann, I'm Mike Slayman. That's Teeth Talk. Keep smiling.